Welcome to Choosing Leadership, a podcast for high performers with big dreams and for leaders who know that they are more powerful than the level that they are currently playing. I am Sumit Gupta, your host and the founder CEO of the Deploy Yourself School of Leadership. I am here to help the best leaders get better and to help organizations massively improve their output and impact, and at the same time eradicating workplace stress. Yes. Completely eradicating, not just reducing, completely eradicating. I believe in creating a future and a work culture where people wait for Mondays, not Fridays, and get to do their most meaningful work. The aim of this podcast is not to provide you more content, but instead shift the context under which you operate. This podcast is titled Choosing Leadership because that is what leadership is, a choice. In each episode, I will celebrate leaders who have made such choices, which are not always easy and comfortable, but which has helped them get to where they are today. And let us celebrate the leader in us for choosing to move over our fears, for choosing to be motivated by something bigger than ourselves, and for choosing to deal with every challenge that comes on the way. Let us celebrate you right now for stepping into the unknown and taking courageous action, as those were the moments when you chose leadership. At the end, I will share how you can be our next guest on this podcast. And with that, let's get started. Manisha is a Business World 40 Under 40 awardee and the regional COO at Healthcare Global, which is responsible for running 5 hospitals and 3 cancer care centers across South India. In the interview, she reveals her journey from engineering to leading cancer hospitals in India. She navigated biases and uncertainty as she honed her leadership skills by prioritizing intuition and resilience. Manisha advocates detaching from work to maintain a balanced personal life and emphasizes the importance of identity beyond the professional realm. Manisha emphasizes leading by example consistently and managing ambiguity for effective leadership. Hi, Manisha. Welcome to the Choosing Leadership podcast.
Thank you, Sumit. Good to be here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you here. Why don't you start by sharing a little bit about yourself and what is it that you do today?
Yeah. So I'm in India, based in Bangalore, and I'm running a group of hospitals in south side of the country. We are headquartered in Bangalore. So I'm chief operating officer with the Global Hospital. We have 23 hospitals across India. We are one of the leading private provider of cancer care in India. And I've been in the healthcare industry for over 12 years now. I've run a lot of hospitals, large multi-specialty hospitals, commissioned hospital from scratch, managed COVID in the worst of times. And since the last around 2.5 years, been in oncology space and running cancer hospitals. I'm an engineer by undergraduation, but made the switch over after my MBA and moved into healthcare. So that's been my professional journey. And I'm also a mother to a little boy on the personal side.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I think engineering is quite different from leadership or even healthcare. So can you share a bit more of your backstory, like what made you move to healthcare and also running hospitals rather than an engineer is quite focused. What you're doing is quite broad. So what pulled you in this direction?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. So after engineering, any run-of-the-mill engineer, everybody in our time was gunning for an MBA. And I hoped to switch streams as well. And I was very interested in finance. So I majored in finance and I was trying for a lot of consulting placements with McKinsey and the likes. And then from campus, I got placed with Max Healthcare. It's one of the leading multi-specialty hospitals of India. And that's in Delhi. So I've been in Delhi for many years. And I joined with them though, but my profile is very different. So I joined in a strategy role. Could imagine any B school graduate to really be interested in doing strategy and looking at financial analytics and whatever was touted as the cool stuff. So I thought this will be transformative for the industry. And healthcare was and has been one of the most sunrise industries. It's just been up and up. And I was one of the first few or rather the first set of professionals to enter conventional healthcare industry, which is hospitals. So if you see in India, otherwise globally as well, if you see pharma, big pharma, as well as in Indian pharma landscape, or if you see health tech, now there's a lot of digital companies in healthcare coming up. And they are all run by professionals, and they've been progressive and have hired professionals for a long time. And they have strategy and all those teams set in place. And there's a lot of vacancy consultants and all who make a shift over and then move to industry and join such companies. It wasn't the case with hospitals. So I thought it would be a very different thing to do. It can give me exponential rise in my career. And so with those things, I joined.
And was that difficult to adjust in a, let's say, a traditional or a more conventional way of working with different mindsets, different approaches?
Yeah. So I think healthcare, so one, I'm not a doctor. And second, at the time I joined years back, it was being run by medical professionals, by senior medical professionals, a little bit of a gray hair helps here. I joined fresh out of B schools. I was very, very young as well. I had experience, a couple of years of experience, but not really in healthcare and hospitals per se. And then being a female, so I think one glass ceiling over the other, there were a lot of layers of stereotypes for me initially when I entered. I did see that in many instances that I felt that there was some kind of at least an unconscious bias for somebody who didn't come from a medical background or didn't have that much experience. So, but what I thought was that rather than focusing on the problems, I should play on my strengths. And where do I add value? Because with senior industry, medical professionals, what is it that they can't do and where I can add value? So that's why I decided to play to my strengths. But I also thought that a deeper learning curve was needed. So I moved out of my strategy role about 7-8 months into the company. And I got into pure play hospital operations. And I requested my boss and the then CEO to move me in a role for some time. So then I work in the trenches and I learn ground up all the nitty-gritties of running the hospital end-to-end, what the patient sees, what the doctor sees at the back end and so on. Yeah. So I did intensive exercise to arm myself and then...
Yeah, so you, in a way, you asked for and paved the way for yourself. But when you ask, when you made those requests, were these difficult? Like emotionally, were these difficult requests to make for you?
I wouldn't say difficult, but they did seem very challenging. Because initially I was a little afraid. All of us are afraid of failing, especially when we take a risk and we have to prove it to ourselves as well as people looking at us and our family and all of that. So I think I was a little apprehensive. I wouldn't say afraid, but I was apprehensive in the beginning. And I think that led me to put in twice the amount of effort. So in hindsight, it was good because I worked twice as hard because I couldn't afford to fail and go back from. So I think that way it only made my effort stronger.
Yeah. Thank you for being open and honest there. Now, as you were reflecting on that, coming back to today, to the present moment, how do you see yourself differently than like how you saw yourself maybe 5 years or 10 years ago? And what is that leading towards the future? What's next for you?
Yeah, I think I'm a lot more, I've gained a lot of maturity. Of course, besides the technicalities of the work and as the years pass by, all of us get more and more finesse in that aspect. And that's a learning curve. It goes on, it just gets maybe more and more flatter. I think a lot of people learning, because in healthcare, we are a service industry also, of course, and it's largely people driven and whatever digitization, automation, it's basically people service industry. So a lot of diverse people learning, and that's made me a more mature person. And I see in the way I deal with people, stakeholders in professional and even personal relationships, I think it has made me more mature. I am more measured, more patient. And I, for example, I would respond rather than react. So I think when I started, I was young, aggressive, and more on the reactive side. And rather than now, it's more of a deliberated, considerate response that I would give to any situation. So learning as a person overall.
Yes. Yeah. So with that sense of, I think groundedness is one word I can use. Groundedness. And then that experience behind you, which makes you more comfortable in your own skin, which makes you like makes what was difficult for you earlier easier, right? Either if you are advocating for some new idea or like a policy, or even if you're fighting or resisting something which you don't like or you have a different point of view, it makes that easier. So where what does this lead to, right? What's next for you? If you were to like look at the next few years, where do you want to be? How do you want to see your career shaping, or what kind of impact that you want to create because of what you will be doing?
So I think short term, I like what I'm doing, to do more and more of that with like wider reach perhaps. But in the long term, I've always from the start thought of doing something of my own. And definitely in healthcare space, I think it is as impactful as it gets. And there is still so many problems to solve and of reach, access, affordability, availability in the country, in the subcontinent. So something on those lines of coming up with a disruptive solution to a problem and kind of scaling it from scratch. So that's something which will be the next interesting, challenging.
Yeah. And what are like the dominoes to fall for you to make that leap or make that jump to starting something on your own?
Yeah, I think I have a very definitive idea, which is the most important thing. The concept and the idea has to be very firm. So I think I'm there with that. But putting some of the other pieces together of when I want to take the leap, I also take a lot of decisions. So I take calculated risks. So I wouldn't just follow my gut into a decision. I've very done that. So I think looking at the industry scenario, external weather, regulatory, competition, and then timing on a personal level. So I think all those things falling into place is very important for me. My gut says that it's the right thing to do. And analytically also, it's a good idea. But probably when everything falls into place in the future, near future, perhaps, yeah, then.
Yeah, yeah. And even now you mentioned this is a people business, right? Even your current role is very people driven. What role does your gut or your instinct play in when you make decisions, right? When you tilt one way or the other, how do you balance the calculated risk, like the analytical approach, versus what you feel in your body, right? You feel there is something which I want to do. How do you balance these out? Do you see any like drawbacks, or any, if you can share any interesting like stories or something which happens, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think intuition is very important. And all of us, people say women have very keen intuition. I don't know how far it is, if it is equally true for men, but I keep my intuitive side also on the table while making decisions. So I'll give an example. So when it is about assessing or evaluating somebody on the team, or entrusting someone with the responsibility and really deciding whether he or she will be able to take it up, at times we get a team member, we assign responsibility, and then as leaders, we see that things are not going as expected. And then we introspect and reevaluate. So many times when I've met with situations where I had to examine the decisions that I took on people, betting on people or choosing people, I have not just been analytical, because being analytical is very simple. We can quantify the outcome and we can look where it felt vis-a-vis the measure of success, and then just in a very numerical, arithmetic way, evaluate someone. But I always use my gut, and I see that it's not just the skill and the outcome, but the will of the person. So if someone is really intending and committed and they've fallen short, then I take a decision accordingly. And many instances I've done that. It doesn't mean that I cut people slack if I feel that they're into it, but it's just that if someone's very willing and intending and quite committed, but because of various reasons, not able to really reach the finish line, I help them take an extra leap or take a break or kind of support them rather than just touching on hard facts and analytically. And most often, I felt that those have been right decisions on my part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Right? In my own work, I have always found that like the gut is always right, or the gut is always something worth listening to. Because if you don't listen to it, then it eats you up from the inside. So thank you for sharing that. So as you were talking about the future, right, this is like, there is something ahead for you that you have in your mind. And I think more than your mind, I think there's something which is more emotional or more like heart-based for you. With having said that, and as you spoke about your past growth, what kind of a leader that you think that you need to be to actually not just make that jump, but also be successful in that role, right? What new skills or behaviors or anything that you think that you need to grow into or build to take that future come alive?
Yeah. So I think for a leader, three things I think very key. One is leading by example, which is what I practice day in and day out. So take the first step and then have everybody follow you. Second, I think is a lot of consistency. So people should not be confused about what to expect from you. So you have to be very good in your expectation of outcome of certain whatever demeanor, way of working, of engagement and what have you. So I think that sort of consistency builds trust, builds some level of calmness in people. They know what to expect. They don't get confused. And then we get reciprocity also from the team. So they also work the same way that they are consistent. And I think thirdly is dealing with ambiguity or uncertainty. And this is where this in my first experience was in COVID time. When I had to deal with something like that, because for 99% of us, it's very simple. We want this, we're doing this, this outcome. We want this top line or bottom line. We want these many customers. We want this clinical outcome. It's very 2 + 2 = 4. But that was a time which was very uncertain. And we were not sure of whether we will make it, whether we will ourselves get infected and what will be the protocol for patients. How many patients can we take? What should be the protocol to begin with? And so that was turning point, I would say, in my overall experience as a leader, as a worker, as well as a leader, to be able to take that decision and then also give confidence to the team and lead them in uncertainty. And that's that 2 years of exposure that I had. And I think that is what people who want to go to next level, especially you want to do something on their own and they're taking a big risk, and that is the experience they don't have. And even for still for me to keep growing or take a next leap, which is probably more risky or more uncharted than what I'm doing now, I think that sort of incremental learning is important, that how to keep calm and also give assurance, take decisions and will take them along with you in uncertainty, in ambiguity, when it's like day to day, week to week, month to month. In large corporates, it's okay. People are comfortable. They are assured. They're not worried. They're not scared. And that's important.
Yeah. And can you just reflect back on that, like COVID times, what was your biggest learning from that uncertainty? And also you're still in a large setup. You're still in a like a well-established place. What is your biggest fear or worry that if you were to like go to the startup or like something unorganized, what you might not be able to deal with, right? What's your own biggest fear or challenge that you see, especially when dealing with the ambiguity or uncertainty?
Yeah. First, I'll tell you about the COVID time.
Yeah.
Like first. So I think then it was very kind of, I had to, and all of us had to think out of the box and think on our feet. And we really had to invent solutions at times and sometimes give fake reassurance, and we didn't even know if things will fall in place or we'll get the supplies, or we ran out of oxygen in the second wave. For example, will we get the supply? Will we be able to get the requisite amount? And we may have to move out the patients. We don't know where to put patients. I think I had to put up a very strong front, keep a poker face, be thicker skinned than I am. So those are all firsts for me, and very good life learning was something I had never done. And I do that now as a mom, because I think as parents, all of us do that with our kids. It's be reassuring despite anything. So that was a very important, crucial turning point as well as learning. Next level, if I have to, or one has to go from an established setting or an established corporate to a new place, which is just starting from scratch, or do something from scratch on their own, I think the first thing is to be able to sell the idea. And when you're doing something, and I'm sure you have done that, Sumit, because you're also, you know, doing so many things on your own, is that you have to sell the idea to everybody. So if you are trying to hire people to work with you, you sell it to them. If you're trying to get people to partner with you, to put money in your venture, for people to associate, people to watch, people to buy from you. So one is that we have to really master selling, where big established companies, we don't have to try as hard. So we do incremental selling. I don't think we sell anything from scratch. So we know that you need this drug, you need this treatment, you need this therapy. We sell with a nuanced finesse that why is it better here vis-a-vis there? But the market is established. So the we have an established need. We have people, they know what they want. And then they're making a selection. So we're trying to win on the selection front. But in the on the other side, it's sometimes you just have to create the market itself, create knowledge from scratch, sell it to everybody. So a lot more of confidence selling from scratch. I think that's a different experience altogether.
Yeah. So for me, I think one thing which you were talking about earlier, you are not the same person that you were many years ago. And by the same logic, you will not be the same person in the future. You will be like more skilled, more confident, more like with more maturity, whatever that we were talking about. And what I found is that many times when we try to think in the now, we try to judge our future self by our current abilities. And then that can create anxiety, that can stop us in our tracks and lead to our indecisiveness. But if we can simply see that like the future us will be more confident to deal with whatever challenges future might create, then we can still take the current decision with less burden or weight around it. And then that will allow the learning also to be faster and to be more sustainable, rather than if we take on like a big burden or pressure that now I have to make it work. Now I am doing something different. And because of that, we tend to overthink and overburden ourselves than just the logistics or the situation itself. So for me, always like keeping that perspective that the future me will deal with the future challenges allows me to act better in the now. That has been quite relieving for me and also has led to growth. How do you listen to that?
No, I agree. I think we are evolving each passing day and we're growing. I think that's so true what you said. And probably I wouldn't have been as ready to face the challenges that I faced today a couple of years ago. So I think the environment around is changing. So I think ecosystem helps us adapt also.
Absolutely. Okay. Can you share something unique about you, which most people are not aware of?
I don't know if there is anything unique as such. I try to really, and I've worked very hard to do this, but I try to detach myself from work as far as possible when I'm in my personal space. Because hospitals, we are a 24/7 environment. It was inevitably the first 5-6 years of my work. I would keep getting calls from work, like in the night, and I continuously embroidered work. And that's something that is part and parcel of what we do. And I realized that it's not possible to have a clear delineation or just go off grid, switch off the phone and all. So what I worked on is that even if I take calls or I sometimes work on weekends as well. And I, of course, get a lot of calls and I'm answering mails or whatever. But mentally, I'm not there. So I consciously make it a point to not affect me when I'm at home with my family. I don't go on discussing it. I don't let it change my and all as such. That's something that has come with, I'd say, 4-5 years of practice. But I've consciously worked hard to get there. I'm still doing it. I still do better.
Yeah. Can you share a bit more on how do you do that? Especially, let's say, if it's a Sunday and you have a call at 11 a.m. and you have a call, let's say, at 2 or 3 p.m. Then how do you make sure that in between that time, you are with your family or you're just not worried or overthinking about those two calls?
So I don't make it become the locus of my identity. I think a lot of times people draw entire identity from work. And for many of us, it's true. So if I meet somebody outside, and the natural question will be, what do you do? And so now I feel if I'm not doing anything, which I think is also blissful in so many ways, it's to be at home, I love cooking with my kid. But then what would I answer for that question? So I think a lot of us draw so much identity from the work. And I also did it for the longest time. And then my entire circle was centered of my work, professional circle, even circle of friends. And even with friends, you would talk about work. At home, me and my husband, both of us work a lot. We would be talking about work. So I've gone to work to remove that. So in my other conversations, I try to keep work minimal so that it's not on the top of my mind. And I talk about other things that are happening in the world, what I'm doing in life, whatever things we are doing together, what I like other than work. So I think that's, because then that takes mind away from work also. And it's a stress buster. It helps us reduce stress. There's so much stress in life already in the environment. And then on top of that, continuous work stress. So I have consciously removed it from my other conversations. Like that itself has helped.
Thank you. Yeah. And I remember like when you introduced yourself, you mentioned that you are a mother. And many times we don't do that. We think this is professional or this is work related. And we associate ourselves with either our titles or our industry. So thank you for adding that. I think that's a very deep answer to a very simple question, right? That you, who you are is not just what you do, but you also practice it by not either talking about the other stuff or not just talking about like what is so easy or convenient to always talk about, especially in our culture. So thank you for adding that. Yeah. And before we wrap this up, if you could wake up tomorrow having any new skill or ability, what would you like that to be?
Oh, wow. I haven't thought of that. I guess teleporting. I feel we spend so much time in traffic jams in Bangalore and a lot of time spent on road. It would really help me with my day and everything else. I could work out. I could sleep more or whatever. So definitely just cutting the traffic, probably teleporting, aspirating, whatever. Harry Potter used to aspirate from a place to the other, something like that. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Because I was in Bangalore like just a month ago. And I can pretty well relate to where that answer is coming from. Yeah. So for anybody who might listen to this, right, and they are curious about you or what you're doing, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
On my email, my personal email is there. Maybe I'll, should I read it out or I can leave up? Yeah, so it's Manisha, M-A-N-I-S-H-A .Gemini, G-E-M-I @gmail.com. It's an email I did in college, so it has my son's sign. So I never changed it. So that's my personal email. I'm a very proactive, fast on mail. So happy to connect with anyone.
Absolutely. I will make sure that that's included with the show notes. And as we end, I want to thank you for what you do. Like you are literally in the business of saving lives. And as you said, especially as a woman, especially as like somebody who has not been a doctor, it's new, it's different. So there is, like you have done work on yourself to succeed and to just fit in this role. And I'm sure you will do a lot of great things in the future as well. So thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing some moments of learning and growth while being open and vulnerable. And as we end, I would like to wish you all the best for everything that lies ahead for you.
Thank you, Samir. Thank you so much for calling me over. Great that you're doing this. Very nice interacting with you. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. That's it for this episode of Choosing Leadership with Sumit Gupta. I choose leadership every time I record this podcast, and I invite you to do the same. I invite you to design a life of joy, meaning, pride, and satisfaction, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. If you got something out of this episode, would you share this episode on social media? And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, can you tag them on social media to let them know about the show? And if you are a leader who wants to acknowledge how far you have come and have big dreams for the future, please reach out to me to be a guest on this podcast. And I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. This is what I do most naturally, to lovingly and gently provoke you, to help you see your own light, to help you see what you are already capable of. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to deployyourself.com and subscribe to my newsletter or follow me on LinkedIn. I want to thank everyone who contributed to making this show a reality. And I want to thank you for listening. Always remember that you are enough, you are loved, and you matter. This is Sumit. Until next time, keep choosing leadership.